the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome back to another episode of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast here on the CBP Media Network. My name
just drying my hair. Sorry,
buddy. Joey, this is episode 109.
I'm shower. Okay, that's good now. Nice and dry.
Oh, boy. Sponsors running at Usain Bolt speed away from our program. Lots to talk about tonight, Len, including an announcement we'll make, I guess, in the next few minutes. But maybe before we start, why don't we just do the usual thing. How's it going over there? How are you? How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Oh, it's great. Joey, the weather is not good, though. It's cold and it's kind of rainy. We got a taste of summer a couple of weeks ago. But other than that, it was on the links just past this past Friday. It was awesome. Had a good time nearby your house at the Mighty Chid Oak. So it was fun. Yeah. How are you over there?
I heard from our colleague that you enjoyed a round there, which was good to hear. I would like to go one of these days if I have time on a Friday afternoon to hit a few balls. I'm not a competent golfer, but I am a competent drinker. And maybe that's how I can spend my time. Or maybe I'll run.
It's a heck of a walk to drink, though.
It's a bit much. We did it before. I mean, if you have, you can probably have two. I know you don't drink beers, but you could probably have two, maybe three beers, and you'd walk them off pretty quick doing Chid Oak. It's kind of a long 18 on a hot day. So I don't know if, I'm kind of talking myself out of this, to be honest. It's a lot nicer to just go to the stairs and then go home. I like to run the stairs there on the escarpment. Now that's punishment enough. I don't think necessarily I have to do that. And then also play a team with you guys.
I just want to say one thing. I'm wearing this Mario shirt. I watched the movie this past weekend and it was a lot of fun. I liked it. It's obviously geared towards kids, but somebody who obviously likes Nintendo products, such as myself, thoroughly enjoyed this movie. And a lot of the music, I like that they're tying it in from Super Mario World. I thought that one is, for me, very nostalgic, that game. And tying into a lot of that is absolutely awesome. But it's
big win.
A lot of modern stuff, too.
I haven't seen it. I'm not going to, but I am a Mario fan. I'm also a Zelda fan, which maybe we can talk about after the show here. We got another trailer for that game. Otherwise, we're going to accelerate. First, our sponsors, EasyDNS. Okay, you know Mark is uncancelable. He wrote unassailable. We know that, okay? But what else does EasyDNS do? They do a ton of other stuff. They do domains, DNS, web hosting, VPS hosting. So if you have a Bitcoin node, for example, okay, you can use their VPS hosting service. If you have BTC Pay server, you can use this. If you have a Noster relay, many options. And maybe the most important thing, and me and Len are guilty of not using this yet. We should, now that we have our kind of domain set up there. Is email. You can actually use EasyDNS for an email account that's not on the most widely poked, prodded, searched, and overburdened email server on the planet, the Gmail data centers, which are like transparent, like beautiful Lake Louise water. Okay, like it's very clear what's going on underneath all the you know, fake privacy protections over at Gmail. So if you want to use these things, use EasyDNS. You can get all your stuff out and move all your stuff to the new provider, which is pretty simple. And there's also something called GPG encrypted email forwarding. Now, I'm reading this because I don't know anything about this. And Mark actually noted to us that no one uses it. It's adding a GPG key. I think he might mean PGP. Maybe he means GPG. I don't know. To your email so that it's encrypted before the next hop. So you can use that to encrypt your email at rest. So even EasyDNS couldn't read it. And of course, domain packages, all this stuff. We know this, right? So we got to start using this. We are guilty of this. I think we've been talking about a website for probably the better part of a year now, 6 months on this show. And now I think this is our third month with Mark and EasyDNS.
We'll get there.
Still don't have it. Listen, I just sent the Canadian Bitcoin Conference a headshot and a bio. So I am done my part. You need to do your part. What are you doing over there? Your wife needs to take – okay, listen – Mrs.
I thought
Len.
We planned out where
this Len. I'm talking. I'm not talking to you now. Wait till I'm done talking to your wife.
Wait.
Take a picture of Len, a nice headshot. Write him a bio, 200, 300 words. Let's get this moving. My wife is ready to move on the website. And that's it. That's all I want to say about EasyDNS. It's a great service, man. We
established I'm going to be taking that picture on our May 8th.
Oh, my God. So long, man.
That's what it is. Anyways, we also have some very big news.
Drum roll.
That we want. drum roll it, because we have another sponsor, a new one for the show, Bitcoin Well. And, well, these guys, great place, because they offer Bitcoin. And if you go there to buy it, they have spread so cheap, they're practically giving it away. And it's almost negative, in fact. It's almost looking like the
cheapest place in Canada to buy. If you're buying online, it is the most sats for your buck. That is saying something. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so they'll take your funny money and give you Bitcoin instead. And even if you're selling your Bitcoin, who the heck wants to? They give very competitive rates too. So that's another thing. Note, it's non-custodial. So you have to have a wallet before you make the purchase, because you are going to control the keys for all the buys you make. And other services include that you could get with your Bitcoin, you could get gift cards from tons of stores. Like, and I'm just going to name a few that I saw: Home Depot, Sobeys. Great. And great. Even Joey Restaurants. I saw a place called Joey Restaurants.
Like what? Joey Restaurants. Do they have seed oils there? I'm out.
I do not know. But you know what? If you're affiliated with them, might as well go spend it and get some gift cards to eat away. So, yeah, you could even pay your bills with Bitcoin. Privacy buys, they got you covered. If you buy under 1K at the ATMs, you're good to go. You can leave your purse, your wallet, whatever the heck you have with you. Leave it at home. Just bring the QR code and you're good to go.
What is the term for that? That is called light KYC at the ATMs. All you need is a wallet address, my friends, and a little bit of cash. Called
privacy buys. And then more than that, Joey, if you need help with your Bitcoin buys, you could go and meet with one of their specialists in person or online. In person, only available in Edmonton or Calgary. And finally, they have the Bitcoin Well Infinite program for you big fish out there. So check it out. I've been using it for my purchases exclusively for the past little while. And those privacy buys that I've been making, they're the icing on the cake, and just makes me want to do another trek to the ATM. We also have some codes, Joey, we want to provide to people. Very cool. If you make
these,
these are big.
There's one code here, the Monday code, okay, is fucking huge. That's a big discount for people, and I want this group to take advantage of it. Okay, go, Len. What are they?
Yeah, so if you buy in Mondays and only Mondays, CBP33, and this is only active on Mondays, you get a 33% discount on all your buys. That's essentially a 5% Bitcoin bonus in totality. If you buy the rest of the week, CBP10, and that's always active, so it's every other day, if not named Monday, 1.5% Bitcoin bonus. That's equates to a 10% discount on fees. Also, if you sign up online with CBP, the code, you're entered into a draw. As long as you make a purchase and you transact before the end of May using the code, sign up, you're in a draw for a Block Clock Mini. So if you haven't yet signed up to Bitcoin Well, use the promo code CBP. As long as you transact before the end of May, you're in a draw for a Block Clock Mini. So, yeah.
Can we talk about how much of a no-brainer this is, the Monday buys? This is a no-brainer, okay? Len and I have been using this product for a while. ATM, online portal, it's all non-custodial. The ATM is so important, man, because of the privacy slant, okay? There's a reason that we wanted to bring Bitcoin Well on as a sponsor. We've been talking to them for a while. We finally got an agreement that we both like, and we want to promote light privacy buys. Is that what you called it? Very diplomatic.
Privacy buys, yes.
Privacy buys. So we want to promote these privacy buys, and the way to do this is to give people a code that makes sense. Now, okay, I'll level with you, okay? It's going to be more expensive than buying online, but you have to think long-term of the benefits of buying non-KYC corn. You spin up a wallet, privacy buy corn. You spin up a wallet, you bring the QR code to the ATM, and you buy with cash, and that's it. You can do it in Sparrow, you can do it on your cold card, you can do it probably on Ledger, Trezor, Keystone has a feature for this for sure. There's a bunch of different wallets that you can do this on. And this is, I think, it's rock solid. And I see these comments in the chat about bull Bitcoin. If you got e-transfer in, it ain't 100% private. And that's a fact. And I like bull Bitcoin. Obviously, we've had Francis on. We had Magic on when he was their sort of business development person. But that ain't private. You can't buy with cash. If you want to buy with cash at an ATM, it's damn near impossible to get it back to you if you treat the wallet that it's going to properly. And so, you know, we're going to put a video out on that, I think. Aylin, I don't want to speak for you, but I think there's going to be a video on ATM buys, how that works. And it's something to consider if you're holding long-term, having a light KYC stack at your disposal. That's all I'll say, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that.
So Josu is asking if it's the ATMs asking for SMS verification. No, under 1K, no. So if you come with 1K, less than 1K, you're good to go. But you know what, Joey? Let's move on because there's still so much more to talk about. I'm sure we'll get questions. We'll just answer them as they come in. We have some boosts, a ton of boosts. In fact, I want to go through them quickly because this is it. It's a carryover from last week. And thank you to everybody that submitted the boost. Remember, we had the GFY come in from Norman Remnant. While he said, I didn't think the GFY was going to get you guys rattled. Didn't know what to say on my weekly 420 boost. Congrats, Joey, on the MC for the CBC. And yeah, it didn't really rattle. It's just pretty funny that you did it. And Doug and Roop writes in, thought it was a fair comment. GFY. Second Breakfast writes in, man, California never ceases to amaze. No wonder people are fleeing the states. When that's a response to one of the stories we had last week.
It was the reparations, I think, right? The 5 million per person or whatever, I think.
That probably. And the electricity bills that are going to be geared towards income.
Yes.
And Doug and Roop also writes in, CBP helped me find CleanSpark to invest in and now DMG. Appreciate you. Don't provide financial advice, but you sure do give some signal. Thank you very much. Halo22B writes in, thanks, Len, for exposing this shitty mining company. It's compliance, not censorship. ESG Carbon Zero Mining, GFY. VCP writes in, great cast bridging. That huge divide between new BTCers and expert level. Great questions to get Odell talking about things in a new way. That's with respect to your interview with Matt Odell some time ago. Rander writes in, oh, baby, go faster. I got you. Didn't you mean accelerate? Mo BTC Dick writes in, been a minute, boys. Cheers from Portugal. Got to use Lightning for an OTC purchase for the first time in my life. Glorious Sick. Moment. Yes, it sounds phenomenal. Norman Remnant writes in, crypto coin compliance sensor, GFY, with respect to the DMG interview. He also writes in, this is cringe as fuck. The Bitcoin DMG miners or transacts isn't better because it's green. No wonder the pool hash isn't growing. It's not Foundry or pool fees either. And again, he writes in, let's see, this guy has the audacity to speak for Satoshi. Wow. And last but not least, we got just a few hours ago, Joey Achilles. Thank you, Joey Achilles, for writing in. Bitcoin of the week equals Len every week. No, it can't be me because friends and family are excluded from that list. Not sure if you have anything else.
I don't remember seeing that in the founding
document. It's a living document. I added that this morning, so it's an evergreen document. Okay. Price of Bitcoin, if you have that handy.
Hold on. Nope. It is. Let me see.
$37,201 in Canadian dollars.
27,488 US.
It's been a little bit of a downward slide in the past little while, but it's okay. It's stacker's paradise, if you ask me.
It's fine, man. That's and it. Don't forget, like these prices, Len, are I think being I tweeted this today, maybe influenced by potential negative earnings reports from tech companies, but we'll talk about that later. Maybe couple things. Housekeeping. I was on with Hervoye, whose last name I cannot pronounce, on TNT Radio last Wednesday night. It was a lot of fun, about 45 minutes talking about Bitcoin, talking about 15 minute cities, talking about a lot of stuff. He was a great interview. I'm happy that he brought me on, and I want to thank him and his team for that. You had Sheldon Bennett, as you were just talking about in the booth, and is you'll be Morich? Doing. Yeah. Morich, is that how you say his last name? I'm not sure, but yeah, Morich. He's a very nice guy. And I've talked to him a bit on Twitter as well. Also want to note that you had Sheldon last week from DMG. You're doing Sean Anstey from Liquid FinTech this week. So you're doing it back to back because I'm busy this Wednesday night. So thank you for that. And then next week, I think we have, is it Simone Bellinger next week? Let me check my calendar.
If it is, he's from the Canadian Investor Podcast, and he's been on a show before, but
it's not. It's Mehdi Nazeri. So I'm going to do Mehdi Nazeri. What is Mehdi's claim to fame? You booked that fellow. What's his deal?
Oh, geez. Now I can't remember. I have to go through the notes and find out.
Oh, good. Here at the CBP, lots of guests, no knowledge, and we do all our homework 15 minutes before the show starts. So we got lots coming up. And of course, one other thing. So the Access of Easy show that we've been co-hosting on another channel. We've been posting them as bonuses on this feed. We're going to stop. So if you want to continue getting that, go over to the Access of Easy feed and subscribe there. You can follow them on Twitter. EasyDNS retweets them. We retweet them. And we're going to keep doing them. We enjoy doing them. And I think they're important for Bitcoiners as well from a security perspective. So go over there, follow that show, because I know a lot of you are listening to it on our feed. I can see the play counts. It's pretty damn high, which is great. I'm glad you guys are enjoying that. But please continue to support that on the other feed if you haven't already. I think that's it, Len. Are we good?
Well, Mehdi is involved in Bitcoin mining. He's the CEO and co-founder of Lincoin Mining. That's a Bitcoin mining company. So that's, yeah, a lot of mining stuff in the past little while. That's just another one running the table on that.
Mining companies that are working in the bear market are mining companies that I want to talk to. So let's, that'll be a good show. I'll learn a little bit, I'm sure, since you're the mining guy and I'm not quite there. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, and today's episode, we have lots to talk about. We have news about mixing services, Ledger, Lightning, real estate with Bitcoin, or buying real estate with Bitcoin, Bhutan. We've never talked about them before, Joey, and it's like Inner Mongolia, but Bhutan is still going to get some recognition from us. Intel, stolen Bitcoin, news about dog food, late stage fiat. This is something Massa Capital brings up every so often, guinea pigs, and a lot more. But let's just lead off with some mixing services news. So this past week, it's been noted that there was a massive coin join that was completed. This was done on April 19th at 11:22 specific, if you want to know the time. And that one had 351 inputs and 336 outputs. The amount for this coin join, an astonishing 209 Bitcoin, almost 210. People are taking privacy seriously, and this is an example. A lot more people are taking to these mixing services in order to make their Bitcoin more fungible moving forward and to erase tracks. In fact, we had a tweet this past week. Francis from Bull Bitcoin pointed out that the coin join volume is up to around 100,000 Bitcoin per month. And that number, if you look at the trend, it's been trending upwards for a very long time. So not only are people aware of it, more and more people are aware of it and are jumping on board and using those services. One of the things that Francis was saying that's as for blacklisting or blocking users using CoinJoin, there's no record of this yet. So who knows what's going to happen moving forward. But to date, it has never had an issue where they're blocking people. So keep that in mind. And this info came out because there was some news from Trezor, and they announced that they were going to be allowing CoinJoins through their operations. And the terms of service that they had some interesting language. As such, it was saying that you should not use CoinJoin for illegal activities. So you're not going to use it for sex trafficking and buying drugs illegally, guns illegally, everything along those lines. They can potentially do some blocking of UTXOs to CoinJoin in the future. And potentially this information may be shared with authorities. And this is something that could be problematic for some people. But right now, nothing has been done to date. Mixing services, they definitely have value. But the ones, to me, Joey, is Virgin Bitcoin. That's the most, to me, the best Bitcoin I could get out there. Any sort of KYC-free Bitcoin would be very close to that list. But Virgin Bitcoin is number one, and some sort of KYC-free Bitcoin is number two. But mixing services, it's got to be just a notch below that. That's just my opinion.
You need to know, though. Okay, so the big mix is awesome, but if you look at a wallet like Sparrow, okay, I don't know if you've ever used Sparrow for mixing. I'm not a mixing expert, but I know at least a little bit about it because I used to have Samurai on my phone back in the day and play around with the Whirlpool features and all this. The thing about mixing coins is that you need to have enough other people involved in the mix for it to really be privacy enabling. And the reason I say that is because you can tell if the outputs are for the same wallet. And actually, Sparrow will tell you if the outputs look like they're for the same wallet. So that's important, number one. Number two, you know, the other thing that I think turns people off from mixing and remixing is that even in a wallet like Sparrow that's pretty, really widely used, even as the volume of coin joins and whatnot goes up, it is really hard to get a remix done in the million sat pool inside of 72 hours. So you mix once, maybe with your own transactions or with one other person, pretty easy. But to get a second mix, which really is the privacy enabler, it's damn near impossible to do it in under 3 days. So if you're in a jam or you're one of these people who maybe gets a little worried if the transaction isn't moving or the remix isn't moving and your funds are not locked, but they look like they're not really in place in the app UI, for example, it's difficult to to convince someone to go through that process. So we got to educate people. And I think that if I look at, you know, at what's going on Twitter these days, this flame war between Samurai and Wasabi, this is not productive. Okay. We don't need to talk about this. I know you're smiling and laughing over there. I don't think we're going to talk about it. I'm not sure exactly what's on the list, but I would say to those companies, like, look, the best service will win. And the second best service will still do pretty well. This is the case in pretty much everything. And CoinJoin, I don't think, is going to be any different. So I would suggest that those guys really start raising awareness about why coin joining is important and how to go through a coin join and remix process, a mix and remix process, a whirlpool process, whatever you want to call it, whatever nomenclature you prefer, whatever company you prefer, all that stuff is up to you. But overall, we are seeing a privacy slant starting to emerge. And not to, you know, continue to pump the new sponsor, but one of the big reasons that we like Bitcoin well is because of this ATM optionality. And the question you have to ask yourself, and this is like not financial advice, and I don't want anyone giving me a hard time about, well, that's, you know, you shouldn't be saying stuff like that. I'm gonna say it anyways, okay? If you plan on doing something with your Bitcoin down the road, there's going to be a fee you incur that you incur anytime you spend money. It's called capital gains or taxes or whatever, right? Transfer tax or wealth or inheritance taxes or whatever, okay? The fee you pay for privacy, whether it's, you know, taking a loss on mining, taking a loss on, or taking, you know, less sats at the ATM or paying for a whirlpool mix or paying for a coin join, those fees are short term. And if you think the price is going to go up, in my view, it's worth it to explore those options in a serious manner. Don't just fire into an app and start buying Bitcoin in an app. One of the things that stuck with me from the Francis interview, and he said a lot of good stuff, is this thing about remnants and messaging and what do we want out of this whole movement. And one of the things that the remnants get is that if the message is watered down, if the process is watered down, if the privacy is watered down, if the optionality is watered down, it doesn't do you any good. And so, yeah, man, sometimes it's not as convenient as having an app. Okay. I'm not trying to diss ShakePay. ShakePay is a good company. It's a good place to buy Bitcoin. It's a good place to learn about Bitcoin, but it's not going to be the thing that lets you use Bitcoin the most fully. The thing that lets you use Bitcoin the most fully is going to be the most difficult thing to understand, whether it's Sparrow Wallet, okay, which is a decent UI to get you in. And then if you want extra features, they're there. Whether it's Bitcoin Well, where it's, you know, you can e-transfer in non-custodial to a mobile wallet or a cold card or whatever, but you can also do ATMs, you know, high level of privacy, pay your bills, right? Start the circular economy, things like that. There's all sorts of little things that are difficult, but they're the most important things. They're the most important things. And so I would just suggest to people that when you're thinking about, you know, I don't want a coin join, it's too hard. Learn, watch a video. I'm sure Ben Sessions has videos on CoinJoin. I don't know if he does not, but if I had to guess.
He's done videos on everything and anything related.
He's got a video. Sure. Okay? So like, yeah. If you want to learn, ask him. He's available on Twitter. You know, if you comment on his video, I'm sure he'll respond. And this stuff, I think, is so important. And that's the direction that we want to take the show. You know, what is important here? What are we thinking about on when it comes to buying Bitcoin, holding Bitcoin, securing Bitcoin, being private with your Bitcoin, using your Bitcoin? This is it. And again, the remnant messaging really stuck with me. And I think it's important to keep that in mind. It's not going to be easy, but that just means it's going to be important. And that's for all of us to keep in mind, I think.
Agreed. Let's keep moving on. There's tons to talk about. And I'll be brief on this one. Ledger News. And I'm not sure. Everybody, I think, have seen this thing. This is an absolute joke. They were talking about the Ledger Nano X, the on-chain bundle.
Which one is the Nano X? Oh, the fucking chain post. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, so this ahead. Is in. It's essentially just something that goes around your neck and you could wear this like it's a piece of jewelry. You carry it around with you. Now, anyone who would do this, you're risking a $5 wrench attack or whatever it is these days with inflation, maybe $7.50. I have no idea, but you're asking for it. You're showing it off. You're like, here you go. It's right here. Here's my wallet. You might as well take it. You might as well tattoo the 24 words on your ass or somewhere even easier for people to see it, maybe on your face. So this is an absolute joke. This has nothing to do with your privacy. It's strictly just not a scam, but just try to raise attention to their product. But really, in the end, I'd steer clear of this. If you want to get something, some sort of seed signer out there, get a cold card. It's so much better. It's open source. You could audit the code. You can make sure that nothing.
But can you wear it around your neck?
If you want to, it's not recommended, but you could certainly rig up something to wear it around your neck. Absolutely. But not only that, you know, you get Sparrow. Everybody likes Sparrow. You can attach that to your own node, so you're not using anybody else out there. And it's just, you're closing the loop. You are, as you call it, a sovereign individual. Stay away from this garbage wearing your Ledger Nano X around your neck. You're a fool if you do.
Pretty jokes, though, that the CoinKite crew is always rocking open dime jewelry all over the place. So I don't want to say too much, but don't wear open dimes. At least look cool, and they're not as cumbersome as like a Ledger would be. I don't know, that I only had an old Ledger. I don't know if what the X is big or small or what, probably bigger, but anyway,
the Nano don't tiny.
Well, also just don't do this, because you don't want people out in the wild being like, hey, this guy has enough Bitcoin that he's wearing this thing around his neck. Like, he's thinking about Bitcoin. He's, you know, active in Bitcoin, whatever. It's a hard disagree from me, buddy. You got to stay away from this stuff. And it's just such dumb marketing too. Of course, Bitcoiners are going to paste you for that. Rightfully so.
And that's their core audience. Like, who are they targeting to mostly? It's
the NFT mostly crowd. Bitcoin. Wait until there's a wallet or some kind of, I guess you'd call it a wallet. Is MetaMask a wallet? Maybe that lets you.
It's
like
a hot display, wallet, I think.
Well, whatever. It's going to let you display NFTs somehow. I'm just waiting for this. Okay, this is going to happen at some point, and everyone is going to be like, "Oh my god, we made a mistake with the NFTs. We got to get the fuck out of here." That's crazy that it's going to take that, but I think it's going to come.
Mm-hmm. You know, let's move on. Let's talk about Lightning news. And there's a company called LightSpark, and they just released something that is interesting—an open payment protocol. And it allows for a bunch of options like paying content creators when watching videos, similar to the value for value, which is in podcasting 2.0. And they have just released a Lightning enabled Chrome wallet, and it's an extension that you could include with your Chrome. And that is also open source. And that is really cool. So this is going to enable a whole bunch of content creators out there to potentially tap into this, because this could be used for video. And when they start tapping this in, because it's been an absolute joy in for as a content creator this to watch sats flow in and flow out using the boost and boosting back and so forth. It's awesome to see how it works in value for value in podcasting 2.0. I want to see what happens with YouTube 2.0, whatever the heck it's going to be called. I have no idea what it's going to be. That's just amazing. But not only that, there's also some more Lightning news. Jack Mallers is going to be heading to D.C., to discuss about the Lightning Network and also some other things. It's called the Bitcoin Policy Summit, taking place on April 26. It's a one-day invite-only policy conference. Thanks for not inviting us, guys. They'll be exploring Bitcoin as a strategic opportunity for the United States, including the Lightning Network. The speakers that are going to be listed there, it's a lengthy list, but it's Cynthia Lummis, I see, Ted Cruz, Tom Emmer, Jack Mallers, Alex Gladstein, Troy Cross. And you've talked about in the past, why can't mining companies also be involved in these type of activities? Well, there is two companies that are included. I don't know if it's by design or if it's just random. TerraWulf and Riot are included in the list of speakers. The things they're going to be talking about is how could Bitcoin benefit the United States? And I'm sure they're going to see this and they see how Lightning works, and it's going to raise some eyebrows over there, especially as everything is burning in the financial world. They're printing so much money. The US dollar is being devalued. The world currency status is always being a threat to, they're going to be losing that. And you know what? They see this emerging technology. You can't fiddle with it. It's 21 million hard-coded, transparent. Hopefully that this raises eyebrows over there.
Mallers. Okay. I like Jack, but I am known in our little circles, Len, you know, in the group chats and stuff, for being critical of his delivery. I don't know how well that's going to go with elected officials. Although a part of me would pay like pay-per-view money to watch him lambaste Elizabeth Warren with that kind of delivery if he gets a chance. That's a pretty friendly crowd, the people you mentioned there, which is good. I think the U.S. is in a kind of a precarious spot, right? They're kind of watching the downfall of the dollar in terms of legitimacy, maybe not so much economically just yet, but there's a lot of people who would rather save in other currencies and other assets, to be honest with you. I mean, I have a bunch of stuff here in my notes about the housing market in Canada going up, and you know, in the States, you know, the asset prices on the stock market. Apple, Julian Figueroa pointed out to me today, Apple, like, you know, a sneeze of good news away from all-time highs. As people are, you know, losing their jobs, losing their mortgage, you know, having trouble with their mortgages, et cetera, et cetera. So everyone is trying to monetize other things. And the U.S. is in this weird position because they want that. They want United States asset prices to go up, but they don't want it to be at the expense of the dollar. And as soon as their people lose faith in the dollar, it kind of opens the door to a broader loss of faith, I think. I don't know how that'll look. No one does. We've talked about this a million times. I don't want to rehash it, but it's interesting to think about how all these things are moving at the same time. On the subject of Lightning, where is Kevin Rook on that list? If you are not following Kevin Rook for Lightning News and listening to his podcast, we had him on a little while ago. You talked to him, Len. That kid, I say kid, he's probably around my age, is sharp as a tack. He pays a lot of attention to this stuff and doesn't seem to have like an overly, you know, religious tint to his thoughts about Bitcoin and Lightning. He's looking at this and going, it's just better. And people are starting to use this. The development on this is growing, blah, blah, blah. He'd be a good guy to bring in. And I'm kind of shocked that more people are not talking about this. I would love to see him get a shot. Maybe in Canada. Maybe we can push that. We can use our platform to push that. I think that'd be worth our time.
What is anybody listening to us? That's the question. Are they shutting us up because they see Bitcoin and they say, hey, I would want to hear it. In fact, today in the House of Commons, they were grilling Poilievre about talking about Bitcoin a little bit over a year ago and using that.
Such a slouch line of questioning, man. Such a slouch line of questioning.
Just the reality. Anyways, let's go over across the world to Bhutan. And it's a very
small country. Can you point to Bhutan on a map?
Yeah, I can. Actually, yes. I can. Yeah, and then Nepal, Bhutan, yeah, definitely can. 2.4 billion in GDP. That was their GDP 1 or 2 years ago. So not a very large country in terms of their financial health. Like, they're not a powerhouse in that regards. But one thing they've been doing, they've been stacking Bitcoin secretly. Forbes revealed by scanning through court documents related to BlockFi and Celsius, their bankruptcies, that Bhutan has a small stash of Bitcoin, and they have a $2.9 billion sovereign investment arm called Druk Holdings and Investments. And they were a customer of the bankrupt lending company called crypto lending company, BlockFi and Celsius. So they were using those two companies, and they were degenning because they were trading in and out. In fact, BlockFi liquidated Bhutan almost 2,000 Bitcoin as a result of the degenning that they were doing. In fact, they were making a bunch of trades between April and June of 2022, depositing, withdrawing, borrowing Bitcoins, and even shitcoins. But this, I believe, is an example of the first sovereign wealth fund that directly held Bitcoin in their asset sheet. This is really, really cool that a small country out there with very limited financial resources available to them, they decided to use that, unfortunately, degen in some cases, but hopefully they still have some Bitcoin left on their balance sheet, because to me, that's bullish. When you see countries like this, what do they have to lose? You know, if they're relying on their own monetary policy and their own failed currencies, obviously that's not a long-term solution. Relying on the United States, you know, United States dollar, you're relying on somebody else to have their own monetary policy. And every time they do something that screws it up, they export that inflation into the country that is using the US dollar. So why not take a risk, take a flyer on Bitcoin, and see what happens? I love seeing this, and I want to see more of this moving forward.
It's dope, man. I honestly don't even know what to say. It's like a chef's kiss moment, like I just put in the chat here, to watch a small sovereign start a Bitcoin stack. You mentioned there's some other garbage on the list too, but broadly speaking, I think this is a sort of, it's an example of what you're going to see in other places in the world. Like you mentioned, and you know, we may talk about this tonight, I'm not sure, but Argentina, right? Argentina is just getting their ass whipped by the IMF and these other, you know, sort of phony NGOs selling them salvation, really just exploiting them on the back end, you know, vis-a-vis loans and other oppressive financial regimes that come down through these non-governmental agencies and multi-state entities as well. Why wouldn't a country do this with 5% or 10%?
Or even like 0.5%, like,
or less. Yeah, exactly.
Very small.
Exactly. Or less. And you're right. You're depending on a lot of stuff outside of your sphere of control. If you're Bhutan, and you don't want to do that because you've seen so many times, man, this hostile environment emerge when the US dollar is your reserve asset, when the US treasury is your reserve asset. And by the way, like, continues to be underreported in my view. Literally less than, you know, 18 months ago, you know, about 14 months ago now, the U.S. seized treasury assets of a sovereign. There's no chance to repatriate gold. The U.S. dollar is only good if you're allowed on SWIFT. Why would any of these countries take that chance if they want to protect resources, people, political processes, and don't want to have the U.S. and its allies interfering in their sovereign diktat? Then this is the obvious answer. It's Bitcoin. Stay away from all this other stuff. Don't rely on people. Don't be in these systems that, you know, require implicit approval for the things that are going on inside your borders in order for you to use them. It's insane. And the sovereign asset, I think, that makes the most sense, obviously, and you do too, with people listening, watching, it's Bitcoin, man. It's not even close.
And the country that led the way, El Salvador, they are positioning themselves to be the center of the Bitcoin universe. They've been rolling out this educational program called Kubo Plus. It's a developer program, and it's going to be done by a university over there, which in fact starts today, from the University of Don Bosco. 54 students initially are enrolled and or have been selected to partake in this. And topics will include, get this, economics, monetary history, theory, and future use cases. And so that's really cool that they're going to be providing this type of education to a lot of young minds. And also the students over there, their coding skills are going to be put to the test. There's going to be a coding boot camp taking place this July. And we've mentored by some of the best Lightning engineers out there. I love this. Now you're getting a whole bunch new a crop of new people that understand politics, understand economy, economics, they understand the monetary system, and they understand Bitcoin. El Salvador, man, they're doing the right thing.
How many American students are learning anything about Bitcoin or the future of, you know, potentially anyway, the future of financial markets?
I have one, my Bitcoiner of the week, and I'm not going to say it just yet. Yes, there are some, but not a lot.
It's got to be very few. A painfully small number. And it's, you know, at this point, one of the things we've been asking on this program, we're not the only ones, of course, but, you know, what part of this is by design and what part of this is just because of incompetence? At this point, I think the design, you know, the idea that this might be by design, I think is fairly, I don't know, accurate. We're just not teaching people the stuff they need to know about the potential other options. Optionality is not something that any first world government seems to be interested in. They need to keep you in this this financial economic professional box in order to make you a nice tax suck for the entirety of your life. I hate to say that, but fuck, man, like, do talk about doomer thinking. But you just wake up one morning, you know, you pop out of your mother's womb, pay your taxes, and do that until the day you die, right? Like, that's it. And it sucks. I was talking to a couple of friends who I saw on Friday night. And we, you know, inevitably, everyone is like this, I'm sure all you guys, after a couple of beers, you know, where's the conversation turn? Turns to topics that are maybe not popular to talk about in mixed company. But with close friends, you have this opportunity, and it's important to talk about these things when the opportunity comes up. This idea that, you know, the taxes just keep going up for the most productive people and the service quality just continues to go down and you can't get the services you want to use because they're prioritized in a way that makes sure you don't get them, you know, first. You get to the back of the line. They're prioritized in favor of other groups, other people, and things like that. And, like, you know, I said to them, tax receipts is a great example of something that we just don't teach about in modern education. You know, what is the percentage of the entitlement system and the social security net and road repair and schools that's covered by taxes? It's not much. And that number is going down every year. In the US, I think what was their year over year tax return down by? About 29 or 39%. I forget the exactly number, but like, this is even with inflation going crazy.
Well, they pumped all this money in the market. A lot of capital gains
it's gone. It's gone. And honestly, then, like,
not this is a lagged effect of all that pump money in the system.
Yeah, it's gone and spent, right? And so, like, it's just everywhere you look, there's some like obvious problem that no one wants to talk about. And worse, generally, I think it's like frowned upon to even mention this stuff in proper company. You know, you're sort of derided as a conspiracy theorist for thinking this way, but it's not like this is, it's hard to find. You can just look at what the tax receipts are in Canada. Then you can look at what the spending is, the budget is, how much all this stuff is going to cost, and do the math. I think we came up with-
I can't submit it. I tried earlier today to submit everything, but it didn't work.
They wouldn't take it? They wouldn't take
the system is down, man. The system is down.
True, it's been true,
down.
True.
So that's too bad. And here I would take. I'm like Fry from Futurama. Take my money, and they don't want to take it. So
it is. It is nuts, though, that like no one talks about this stuff. I think it's so important and good for any country who's doing this. Good for them. It's going to pay dividends in the future. And unfortunately, the first world doesn't seem to care. They don't get it.
Well, let's talk about real estate purchases. And in United States, you can now use Bitcoin for purchasing real estate. And it's the very first real estate marketplace in the U.S., not in the world, only in the U.S. And this was launched through, you're going to like this, Coinbase integration. So there you go. So pumping your bags. So it's called My E-Listing. And this My E-Listing, they typically deal with commercial real estate. And they are now going to allow people to buy real estate using cash or Bitcoin. Launched April 20th, so far only in Texas, but there's going to be a wider rollout expected this June. And this is what you want to see. You want to see the enabling of buying with Bitcoin, which then makes it easier to use on a grander scale because other merchants are going to then want to adopt it as well and just steamrolls from there. So this is the kind of stuff I like. I don't think a lot of people are going to be using the service, but the fact that it is available, I like it. And let's see what happens moving forward, especially as they roll out more to more states in June.
I think it's going to be used fairly widely at some point. The only reason I say that is because people just don't have cash to buy homes. And a lot of people hit it rich on crypto and Bitcoin over the last, like, I don't know what, 3 years since 2020 or whatever. If you were one of these guys who's buying in the 2020 troughs, the price of Bitcoin has to come down an awful lot before you care about what the number is. And it's not there. It hasn't gone there, to 3,000 or 3,500. So I think a lot of these people are looking to buy homes. I hate to say it, but my wife and I, as you know, and as other people know, like we've been looking to move for about a year. And waiting to kind of pick our spot. If there was a company who would help me convert some of my corn to a vehicle that would allow me to buy a house without paying some kind of insane cap gains or whatever on it, I would definitely use some. And I know that's going to earn me the score
theoretically,
many people, including probably my co-host right now. But like the point is
I mean, you can do what you want with it. Spending your Bitcoin is
you want to use it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Theoretically, so if one were to have KYC free, theoretically.
Yeah,
it could be done in such a way. I don't.
But you need someone. You need someone to take it. That's the thing, right? You need someone to take the KYC free Bitcoin or the KYC Bitcoin or what the mined Bitcoin, whatever. You need someone to take it. And right now, the merchant adoption is so low here because I just think people don't get it. Yeah. They're kind of sleepwalking into repression, honestly. But I would probably do it, and I think that it makes sense for a lot of people who are my age and even younger. I'm lucky to have a decent job and be, mid 30s with a little bit of a war chest. But even for us, it's hard. I'm always thinking about the numbers for a new home and upsizing and things like that. And I can't imagine for a kid who's 25, hard to find a job, hard to. But maybe you're one of these Wojak memes. You hit it rich on Dogecoin or something, or maybe you smartened up and bought Bitcoin in the trough in 2020, or you bought it in 2019, 2017 when it was 10 or 8 or whatever. And last thing I'll say on this, the real estate market is such an important part of modern economies because entitlements aren't keeping up. And so part of the package for pensioners is that they have to sell their house. They have to downsize and use the money that the house nets them to have an enjoyable retirement if they want to live for 30 years after they call it quits on the workforce. And if people can't afford those houses, they can't downsize. Entitlements don't keep up and you get a revolution. And so it's in the government's best interest to find ways to make these tax efficient moves. We talked a little while ago how everything soon will start slanting toward tax efficiency in order to buy real estate from boomers because this is so important. And so I think you'll start to see this land. I hope Bitcoin gets caught up in this because it will improve legitimacy and improve kind of adoption as well. Yes. But it seems to me that there is a clear must here that all tax efficient laws have to have a slant that says, please buy land from the generation before you. Please buy homes from the generation before you because they need that to retire because we can't keep up with entitlements otherwise. And this is unspoken, unwritten, but I think it's clearly the case.
I just want to, and I told you this story. I'm going to just say it over here. I'm going to be as vague as possible to avoid doxing anybody. But I have a friend who this past week received a registered letter in the mail. And it was essentially asking or telling him that the government, one level, I'm not going to say which one, is going to be expropriating his land for development. They need it. And unfortunately, he's going to get rug pulled to the tune of seven figures as a result, although he's going to get some money out of this. The business itself, which he can't relocate, is going to be lost. And that's a seven-figure business that he was hoping to sell
later on. Insane.
And so real estate can potentially be a shitcoin. It's not to say that this is going to happen to everybody. This is definitely, it's a one-off, but it's
not even that. Like, you know what's not a one-off though? Like debasing real estate. We're in a crunch. People want to put up, 30 unit towers in what are basically, single family neighborhoods. At some point, it's not going to matter how angry your neighborhood association is and how much Facebook posting you do. The government's going to tell you to FO and they're going to build it. And they're going to have a reason to do that because it's hard to find a house. It's hard to find land. It's hard to do all these things. And so whether it's rug pull through a letter from the government or being quote unquote debased by, a multi-unit condo, it's not up to you at the end of the day. That's the big problem, right? I think that's what you're getting at.
It just goes to show you that holding on to your Bitcoin, keeping it secure, there's nothing that can be done to take that away from you. Even something like real estate potentially can, and you get rugged as a result. Let's move on. There's still lots more to talk about, and we still haven't even finished this topic. Another rugging is Intel. They're getting out of the ASIC game, and they announced this past week they're discontinuing all their Bitcoin mining chip series. And this is the Intel Block Scale 1000 series ASIC, announced about a year ago. We talked about a little bit at the time, and to much fanfare, only a small number of companies actually purchased or tried to purchase some of these chips: Argo, Block, Grid, and Hive. And from what I understand, Hive is the only one that has confirmed installing them. So they have received them and have installed them. The remaining three, I'm not sure if they have. I have even reached out to Hive and tried to get some information to see if they're how efficient they are. But I haven't received anything from them, nor has anybody else seems to have received anything from them. So they're holding this information close to their vest. From what I understand, it's not as efficient as the Bitmains out there. Unfortunately, it's just another example. They tried it and they failed after 1 year. It's too bad because it'd be good to have some of this chip production and Bitcoin mining the chips themselves and these rigs done outside, designed and built outside of China. But unfortunately, we're now still dealing with the Chinese companies. And I don't know, for better or for worse, it's the reality of it.
How come they couldn't make it work even with the CHIPS Act? That's the thing that worries me. That's a good question. This should have been a really friendly environment for them and they couldn't figure it out. And it's not like those companies don't have access to resources and supply chains and stuff. They're not an upstart, That's a monolith.
If anyone could do it, it would be Intel. Intel
or Nvidia or like one of these guys AMD. Should be trying to do this. AMD, someone should be trying to do this and it seems to me they're not. I don't know what goes into something like this, from top to bottom, but it worries me that, or maybe I shouldn't be surprised actually, like many US legislative activities, the name of this thing probably is a little misleading and maybe it's not actually as easy to make chips and, associated hardware and connections.
Well, the other guys, they have years of R&D head start, right? So
How much R&D do you really need to make an ASIC?
Like I cannot even fathom. I have no idea.
Do you think it's that much?
Again, I have no idea. I have zero idea. And then you have to refurbish the plants to create these chips. I have no clue how much it is, how much time and effort. Plus, then Intel, they're selling to a large audience. This is a very select niche market. So maybe this is another reason why they decided to bail. I don't know.
Low key. Information. Intel, I think on a little bit on the slip here, Len. I'm an Nvidia investor as well. I keep track of that a little bit. And I think this, just anecdotally, there's a lot of people on FinTwit and actually, Massa Capital, who I tweet back and forth with sometimes, him and I talk about this, how there's a lot of midwit FinTwit guys on the bell curve. Think about that meme where they're screaming and crying that Nvidia is overpriced and everyone should be buying Intel and AMD and these other companies. But on both sides of the bell curve, the, sort of 80 IQ guy and the 150 IQ guy are both saying the same thing. And it's the thing that I'm saying. I don't know which side of the bell curve I'm on, but I just think you buy the leader at any price. And the leader seems to me to be getting away from these guys. And so maybe if Bitcoin mining gets big enough and becomes an important part of the economy in the United States, Nvidia starts to think about it. But the other thing is that, it seems to me that COVID exposed a shortage and a difficulty in the underlying acquisition of materials to make chips. And so maybe these companies are thinking, we can't stretch ourselves too thin because we just don't know. Everything is uncertain as far as the relationship with China and Asia, the relationship with other countries that are important to that process, and military tensions and things like that. Maybe they're just going to say, you know what, forget it for now. Let's wait. And maybe that's the natural next step. I'm honestly not sure, but interesting all the same. I'm a little disappointed, but not overly surprised.
So Bull Bitcoin, some news from them. They announced that you can now convert your whole paycheck directly to Bitcoin using their service.
Nice.
And with this, there's no need to go to the bank. Really cool information coming out of them. Just wanted to throw it out there. I'm not sure if anybody's going to take advantage of this, but you can convert your whole paycheck now, having it directed straight to them, and it'll be given to you in Bitcoin. Pretty cool stuff.
I'm dying to have one of these companies, whether it's new show sponsor, Bitcoin Well, even like Wealthsimple, I would honestly probably take advantage of this. I want out of traditional banking if I can do it. And, you know, apart from my mortgage, I don't see any reason why I have to keep any account with any of these guys. So I'm waiting to see someone come up with, you know, a full suite of entry, I'll say entry level, but like commonly used banking services, a savings account, a checking account, you know, stuff like that. And I'm just waiting. It's coming, it feels like. I just don't know when, but all the same for Bull, that's a big jump, man. If you want to go right to Bitcoin with your paycheck, you can do it now. Easy peasy. So what are they using? They got like a direct deposit option. Is that it?
I'm not sure if it's a direct deposit. I think you link up. I'm assuming I didn't explore it any further. I'm assuming you link your employer and you tell them to pay it to this
right
account. And then from there, I guess you need a branch, and I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, you need a routing number and a branch number.
Yeah, exactly it. And I assume that's what, and then from there they could just convert it to Bitcoin or Bitcoin, Bull Bitcoin, and give you the Bitcoin. You're good to go.
Nice.
A couple more stories on the Bitcoin side. Some gentleman by the name of GBKS on Twitter, GBKS, he released something really cool, a node in your pocket. Essentially, it's a pruned Bitcoin node that is running on his Android phone. It took 9 days to sync on a two-year-old Android phone. 9 days, and this is pruned. I can't even fathom how long it would be if it was not pruned, if it was the full thing. He says this is highly experimental at this stage, but he gave the link to the GitHub for those who want to try it and provide feedback. This is cool. If you could have a node in your pocket, I'm not sure how much data it would take. Because obviously, it's getting information. It's getting as much information to sync your node. It's almost real time. So it's probably going to just burn through your data plan. Is this a note? Very nicely done, Boomer. So I thought it was cool. Check it out. GPKS. Unfortunately, it's only available on Android. And again, it's experimental. So don't use this when for having your Sparrow linked up to this. You're just going to have yourself wrecked as a result. So there you go.
Sounds pretty cool, man. I think that node running, I'm guilty of this. Obviously, I started syncing a node like 2 months ago and just forgot. Now it's like sitting somewhere.
Oh, it takes actually, like
a laptop.
2 days.
Yeah. I don't know. I installed, you know, I'll tell you, I installed Linux on a laptop and I installed like some Ubuntu. What is the terminology? Some Ubuntu distro. Is that what it's called? An Ubuntu.
Yeah, so Ubuntu would be it.
Yeah, so I installed a new Ubuntu thing and started syncing a node, and I just forgot about it. I do want to buy like a, I don't know, like a Dojo or something and have like a cool looking node. I know, but I'm a sucker for gadgets and I'm a sucker for cool shit like that.
The computer you have right now, download Bitcoin Core.
I'm not down. This computer is not, it's not a daily driver. This computer's for the show and that's it, basically. And Age of Empires.
You don't need it to be anything special. As long as you have a couple of gigabytes free, I think it's 4 or 5. You prune it and you could go to bare minimum. I think it's like 1 or 2 or 3 days. I forget what it is. It's going to be 1 gigabyte you're going to have. So you only need just a little bit of space and you have your own node and you're contributing to the whole system there. So it doesn't require very much. Do it on your own computer. Get Bitcoin Core, download it, install it.
I know I should do it. I should do it. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll help you out. We'll do that.
Okay. We're done with the story. What's the next story? Okay. I'm not getting lectured about the node again on this program.
We'll do it again. It's part of the after show. Last thing I got to say is WEF. We don't talk about them that much, but for whatever reason, they're now advocating, looks like, for Bitcoin mining.
They're advocating for data centers. They're calling them data centers. They don't realize what the data centers are.
It's a Bitcoin miner, right? And the waste methane they're going to be using to power this, and they're talking about this being stranded energy, and then converting that stranded energy, which originally was methane, and instead of flaring it, combusting it, which they will say, and everybody says, is far less impactful to the environment, CO2 versus, or CO versus methane, waste methane. Man, it's funny that they're advocating for this. I don't know why it is they're talking about this, but it's funny that they're trying to hang their hat and say, yeah, this is a good thing to do, because we've been saying this for so long. So good to see Klaus getting on board the Bitcoin train. So yeah, good for him.
Wait till he finds out. It's going to be amazing. The backpedaling, you're going to be just, it's going to be nuts, because it's clearly these are Bitcoin miners. Like, I don't know how to explain to me how these guys didn't know that, Len. How
they know it? They're not, they're dummies, but they're not that.
It doesn't say Bitcoin anywhere in those press releases, anywhere in those slides, anywhere in the tweets. It just says data center, data center, data center.
It doesn't say shitcoin, but it says shitcoin. So, you know, fuck, let's be honest. Anyways, let's go to Clown World. I'm going to just rip through a few of these. Number one, we have a stolen gold story. This is a joke. 3,600 pounds, around 1,600 kilos if you're in the UK or anywhere else in the world. Stolen gold was from Toronto Pearson's International Airport, valued at around over $100 million. I only thought Bitcoin was stolen in these numbers, but how the fuck did this happen? That's it's a hell of a lot of gold, a lot of weight. It's not something you just shove up your fucking ass and walk out the door. This was a planned attack. It kind of reminds me, like, remember Goodfellas? They had the Lufthansa heist. I can imagine this is kind of the same thing, right? You had Henry out there just yelling in the shower, Jimmy, but... Anyways, that's a great movie, by the way. Where did this gold come from? That's something I'd like to know. It's a lot of gold coming from somewhere. It was going somewhere. There's a huge carbon footprint associated with this. Nobody's talking about this. Shipping cost. What? If you're going to talk about something being very, very bad for the environment, this is it. I'll talk
it's
about
the
it.
The fucking footprint of the heist we got to be concerned about, my friend.
Not the heist, but just where it was originally supposed to go. I don't think they're just storing gold over there for the sake of storing it. It must have been in transit to somewhere.
Yeah, I
so
doubt it.
The fact that it was coming from somewhere and going somewhere, that's the carbon footprint. I don't give a shit about it, to be perfectly honest. But if Bitcoin is carbon, like, it's bad for the environment because of all the carbon the miners produce, which is nil. It's fucking the power plants that do it. Fuck. This is another example. Gold is equally as bad then. It's fucking heavy. It's like transporting this shit. And where it's gone to, I don't know. Melted down. Who knows?
Do you think... I heard Danny Brad Pitt and George Clooney were spotted leaving the airport that day in
Ocean's
costumes.
14 is,
in costumes. What are they on? What are they on? Ocean's 14, 15?
I don't know.
Gold... Someone explain to me how the airport is still making you take your fucking shoes off to get on a plane. But they let someone walk out with 100 million in gold bars. Do I have this right? What are we talking about? The mother with the new child is randomly selected for the X-ray while some other guy and his buddies are walking out of the airport with $100 million.
3,600 pounds. To give you an
idea. Insane.
A car.
Insane. That's more than a forklift load, right? I think a forklift load is about 3,000 pounds. I'm pretty sure.
On the pallet.
Electric forklift, maybe 3,000, 4,000 pounds.
I know my car to tear weight is 3,500 pounds. So like, it's my car, and that's nuts.
I am in disbelief about this. How is this not a bigger story? Like every day I see, again, like not to
it's
pick
lead
on service,
our Clown World story.
Not,
come on, man.
Not to pick on the public service, but like every day I got to hear from what's his face there, Aylward and Fortier about the negotiations. How come I'm not hearing from airport security about this? Shouldn't this be a bigger story than that? It seems to me like this is like a major story because it's one of these like Gell-Mann amnesia things. If the airport is letting 100 million, 3,600 pounds, like you said, of gold walk out the door, what else are they letting go on there? Like, what are we talking about, man? I think this is a major story and I'm a little disappointed I'm not hearing more about it. It's too bad. It's like not the perfect media climate for this, but man, I would love to hear more about this when they find out exactly what happened. God, we got it. Like, can you do an information request to the airport?
Beats
is
me.
Is it a public service? Maybe it is. I'm not sure.
I have
someone in the audience. Tell us, and I'll pay the $5 or $10. I'll pay it personally. Send me the security tape
out of our show account.
I'll get the security tape.
We don't have a fucking bank account.
We'll run it. We'll run it on the show, and I'll put that music over it.
Benny Hill. Anyways, got some. Let's talk about some sad reality out there, because it's getting more expensive to make ends meet. There was a report from Bloomberg, and outlined that one out of five Americans are now using buy now, pay later to buy groceries. This is the proverbial kicking the can down the road. And an example is Target, the company Target that left Canada a few years ago. They're letting customers pay for goods in chunks over the course of several weeks or months. And this is including food. So, man, oh, man. And not only that, there was a survey done by LendingTree Inc. And they say some 27% of users, like one in four, a little bit more than that, they are using loans as a bridge to their next paycheck. This, and even Apple's getting into the mix of all this stuff with the buy now, pay later stuff too. All this stuff, it's spiking and it's kicking the can down the road. Now, coupled with all this, you have rent going up. And so people are stretched thin as it is. And now they can't make ends meet. And fuck, this gets even worse. From Rover.com, almost half of pet owners decided to cut back on groceries for them to afford dog food. So they are basically sacrificing their own meal to feed their pets. And pets are a luxury. How much longer before we have the buy now, pay later stuff for dog food? Like, really, we are one bill away, one financial thing that comes down, and it could make ruin for everybody. The large number of people that are in this position, it's not going to take much to topple this domino. And once it does, the rest are just going to fucking fall. And it's going to be just disastrous for a lot of people out there.
Buy now, pay later is a weird thing. I'm unclear on how exactly this works. I think I told you, I used it. What did I buy? I bought, like, I don't know, a pair of shoes, something in the summertime. And I wanted to see what it was all about. I'm not convinced they did any background check on me or anything. I'm not convinced they did any looking at, like, my credit. I'm not convinced they did anything at all. It just said that you can pay. What did I buy? I bought a pair of shoes from Adidas, and it gave me the option. And we had talked about it on the show. So I fired it up, and I think it was like $80 total or $100 total. I forget. And it basically just broke it out into four payments. And every, I guess, 2 weeks or week or whatever it was, they send me an email, and they would just say, we're taking the next payment tomorrow or the day after, whatever the time frame was. I don't know if you use this for groceries. That's bad, because at some point,
that's the last thing.
Well, it is, but also, like, at some point, like, if you get groceries like every week, then the buy now, pay later would just keep rotating onto itself, right? So you would end up spending the same amount that you would have spent if you just bought the groceries all at once by what? Like, the third time you use it, if it's every week, I think, right? Or fourth time, I guess, depending on how many payments.
If there's an interest attached to this,
there's no interest, but even still, like, the principle after four times using it would be the same as if you just bought the groceries up front, right? If it breaks into four payments or six payments or whatever that number is, after that many times, you'd be,
I'll give you an example. So you're hosting a party, Super Bowl party, whatever the fuck. Oh, buy now, pay later. We'll just stack it on there. 3-4 weeks later, you have to pay the bill. Holy fuck. It's normally our bill is,
there's no buy now, pay later interest, but it's still on your credit card. So, like, you still have to pay
it off.
Yeah. I mean, it's not interest.
What if you don't have to pay it?
I don't understand how. I have no idea how. What are the repos? What's it work? I don't know.
You, like, shit it all out. Honestly,
I'm not sure the mechanism, but, you know, someone from, you know, Buy Now Pay Later Inc. What are the names of these companies? There's one company that I see all the time on Fitz, but I forget now. It's not Canva. What is it called? Someone in the chat, tell me. But anyway, we gotta talk to these people, because I don't know how this works, and it seems to me that, like, not a lot of other people know how.
I'm gonna fucking yell if any of these come on the show. I'm gonna fucking yell at them. Anyways, let's move on. Everybody knows Brookfield, right? Brookfield is that fucking really big giant real estate company out there. Well, they defaulted on a loan, Joey, to the tune of $161 million. That's a massive default. And this is a mortgage for a dozen office buildings, mostly around Washington, D.C. And this is the result of rising vacancies and also lower property values. Office real estate is down 25% year over year. Remote work is still a thing. Hybrid work is still a thing. So this is impacting the vacancies in the office. And it's not just a U.S. thing. If you think that this is just going to be a U.S. thing, Office vacancies in downtown Toronto have reached the highest point since 1995. So that's more signs that the end is closer than not. And since we're talking a little bit of real estate, I'll tack on this mortgage story. As of May 1st, a new mortgage structure is going to be in effect. For people that have a FICO score, I think I pronounced that correctly, of 620, they are going to get a 1.75% discount fee on their mortgage. For people who have a FICO score of 140 or higher, have to pay a 1% fee. So people that have a lower score, which is a worse credit rating, you're going to get a discounted fee. For people that have good credit, you're going to be penalized by paying 1% more on top of this. And I took a look to see what it entails. 620. 620 is considered fair credit. 740 is considered very good. So people that have very good credit are going to pay more. People that have a shitty or fair credit score are going to pay less. You're rewarding people for bad behavior. And then people that have crappy credit, they're more likely to default on that credit too. So you're giving them more opportunity to borrow. And at the same time, once it comes out, oh shit, we don't have the money to pay, default and start from square one.
What do you mean you don't understand why? We talk about this all the fucking time. I'll tell you why. Because there's more people in the shitty credit score that vote than people with the good credit scores that vote.
Yeah, you're 100%.
As that demographic grows, we'll continue to appease them. They'll continue to win elections and we'll continue to spiral downward. This is it. There's nothing else to this. These people have nothing. They have no, you know, there's no near-term outcome that's positive for them in terms of their finances, buying a house, you know, extending credit to them for businesses, things like this. The obvious reason is that the party in power needs these people, and so they have to introduce this kind of legislation. We got to make it easy for them, harder for everyone else, and it doesn't matter because those other people aren't making money. This is really the most devious thing about this. The other people are not making money at a clip that's great enough to allow them to really leave the country, to uproot and take off. They just have to keep paying the taxes.
They have
to keep paying the fees. They are stuck. They're stuck. And everyone knows this. And so it's frustrating as all hell to see this kind of stuff happen, but it's clear why it's happening because there's just no, you know, there's no other option. I want to add something to this. Story from April 18th from Bloomberg. The biggest U.S. banks wrote off $3.4 billion in bad consumer loans. Lenders' consumer loan write-offs jumped 73% in first quarter. The Bank of America CFO says U.S. consumer still in great shape.
Okay. I like that. We're going to write off billions, but they're, you know what? The fact that they're the ones actually paying the bills, great shape.
It's nuts, man. This is completely insane. Completely insane. You got to have some money outside the system. Outside money is key. Bitcoin is outside money.
I'm going to end it on this one last story, and it's totally non-related, but Bed Bath & Beyond, looks like they declared bankruptcy. Now, when I hear this, it reminds me of what happened in, was it 2020, with the whole fiasco with GameStop and I don't know who else was there. It is that theater
GameStop
company. I forget.
And AMC.
AMC. And AMC, to a lesser extent, yeah. BlackBerry, too. And that was, I mean, for me personally, it was one of the three moments in the past 3 years that really made me look at it and say, this dealing with stocks, it's wrong, man. It's shitcoinery at its finest. So Bed Bath & Beyond, unfortunately, I see this one. It's going tits up. And I don't know if it's ever going to come back. But anyways, it's just something that reminded me of why I'm in Bitcoin. So if anybody has any money in there, unfortunately, it's lost.
Who cares? Accelerate. Next story.
All right, let's move on to Clown World North. And there's a lot more young people that are choosing a dink lifestyle. You know what dink is, Joey?
Quote-unquote choosing. Sure, they can't fucking eat or get a house. Of course they're not going to have kids. It's double income, no kids.
Dual income, no kids. So these people, I mean, they could do what they want. I mean, it's their choice. But when you do this, you essentially have no skin in the game moving forward. And I could see people along these lines having a more me mentality versus a legacy type mentality when trying to address things with laws, debt, the whole nine yards. And this gap, when you don't have a high child birth rate, it has to be filled somehow because we have an aging population. And when you have an aging population, they require costly services like healthcare, and immigration is going to have to fill that gap one way or another. Hopefully it does. If not, then we're really screwed. I even look at the birth rates in Canada. It's been declining for a very long time. And it's just, it does not go up. In fact, they say it's reached 1.4 children per woman in 2020, and it's gone down since then even worse. So it's less than 1.4 since then. There was an article that talked about this DINK lifestyle, and that's the dual income, no kids. And it's a Vancouver couple. And this Vancouver-based couple decided to, you know, they don't have kids, but they adopted a guinea pig, and they're also saving up money for a dog. And you know what? How much time before these people are going to have to skip meals to pay for their guinea pig to get fed?
Why don't they just feed the guinea pig to the dog?
Well, they have to first buy the dog, and I'm not sure if, because living in Vancouver, it's a very costly endeavor as it is.
Right.
So, I mean, okay. I look at this, and you know, everybody has their own, you know, lifestyle they could lead. And if somebody doesn't want to have kids or can't have kids, that's fine. That's a choice. But when you have a lot more people like this, you have a ticking time bomb. Japan is dealing with it right now. China too, although Japan's is far more mature than China. It doesn't lead to long-term sustainable growth. You have to have a cycle of people coming in to help pay for the service of the older people. It's too bad a lot more people are adopting this lifestyle. And I think a lot of this is a result of rising costs, but could be also that they're just seeing things on TikTok and are like, they want to travel and shit like that. It's too bad, but this is the reality we live in.
What can be said about that, really? You know, there's so many problems. The big one, though, Len, is that everything is unaffordable. Everything's unaffordable. And the reason everything is unaffordable is because housing has been monetized. And it's funny, you know, I have a little thing in my note here because Steve Saretsky sent out a tweet on the current state of affairs of, you know, Canadian real estate. It's completely insane. Okay. Completely insane. The house prices are up over the last quarter, which is nuts. Interest rates are at, you know, whatever they are, 5% or 4.75%, something like that, something crazy. Amortization periods, as friend of the show Ron Butler tweeted out today, some of these people are paying like $15 in interest and $1,500 in principal, $1,800 in interest, and they just don't care because they know over a long enough time horizon the property will appreciate. They're right. They are right about that. Okay. And I'll tell you why. The money is broken. Canadian dollar is, you know, as weak a currency medium term as there is on the planet, because we just refuse to do any resource production. Our GDP per capita doesn't grow. We just keep bringing in more immigration, which is part of my second point, that real estate is being monetized because the government has no choice but to support policies that are up only for real estate. There's sort of two prongs to that, right? One is from a wealth perspective. The retirement group needs that support. Entitlements will not cover their retirement. They have to be able to sell their homes. And the other piece is a social perspective, that there doesn't seem to be any party of any stripe in the country that's willing to say that all immigration is not good immigration, or that immigration doesn't have consequences for other Canadians, including immigrants, okay, including people who've already immigrated here. And so until these things give, real estate is going to continue to skyrocket. Affordability is going to continue to plummet, and more people are going to choose dual income, no kid lifestyles, and they're going to have no choice. Who can afford to have a kid, Len? My wife and I, so I'll tell you a story, okay, anecdotally here. My dog, Scoop, is 6.5 years old. And so I am expecting now, you know, on the morbid side of things, to start having to make more deposits to his happiness than I have in the first six years, okay? And so he has an infection in one of his teeth, or had an infection in one of his teeth last week. And so I took him to the vet on Friday and had to get the tooth pulled out. Turns out he needed 4 teeth pulled out, okay? So doctor calls me in after the surgery and says, I want to talk to you about, the bone in his jaw is a little soft. We want to check and make sure it's not a cancer in his jaw. And so I said, okay, well, we have to do that. Like, no problem. You have to do that check. And so he sends away the samples, whatever. So I'll find out this week how much exactly is wrong with the dog. Let's talk about the process for that surgery. It was about $600 to have all the blood work done, the prep, his yearly checkup, his tick chew, and I think he needed one set of vaccines, maybe for rabies this year. He was due for his rabies shot. I forget. But in the lead up, that was for the appointment I made because he had a watery eye, which turned out to be a tooth infection at the back of his mouth.
Holy cow.
Okay, $600. So you have that. Then you go to the surgery. The surgery was quoted between $1,600 and $3,000. They give you this range where you decide, you know, how much work you want to get done, blah, 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 blah. And I said to him, like, $1,600 to $3,000 is not that bad. So No problem. We'll see where we land. The surgery, there's someone in the chat saying, you know, Mark is saying in the chat, vets are scammers. Some vets are, I'm sure. This vet is not. He's got a very light touch. So the quote for 1600 to the quote for 1600 to 3000 was for one tooth removed, right? When he got in there, he had to take four teeth out. So he's under anesthesia for a little longer. The meds to come out of it are a little more, you know, significant, blah, blah, blah. All said, the surgery was about $1,900. So it could have been a lot worse. $1,900 is not bad, given that the low end for one tooth was $1,600. So now I'm into it for $2,600. Now let's say, okay, cross my fingers, but worst case scenario, the dog is sick. He's otherwise healthy, this dog. If that vet tells me I got to do a round of radiation and chemo on the dog, I'm probably going to do it. Okay. Love that dog. I'm probably going to do it. Now I'm going to be into it for probably another few thousand. That's for a dog that is generally healthy. It's a mixed breed. There's no problems with the dog. Otherwise he's got a good lifestyle.
You're rolling the dice.
Exactly.
With anybody.
And so are you telling me that those people who want to get dogs instead of kids, you know, are they really better off? Are they really better off? It's hard to say. Because you just don't know what you're getting into. Not to mention that dogs take time and energy, things you can't contribute to work. You know, you're not going to contribute to your job as much as you would, your relationship as much as you would. The whole point I'm trying to make here is that things are expensive no matter which avenue you go. And where, you know, maybe in the past, buying a dog was sort of a nice relationship test, right? It's kind of funny that people talk about, well, before we have kids, before we get married, we got to get a dog together. Dogs... anything can happen with a dog. Dog could break his leg in the park, tear an ACL in the park. Like anything is possible. And there is no cheaper alternative anywhere. Whether it's choosing between a puppy and a kid, or between pork and chicken, or between private school and like it's all expensive now. And I think more Canadians are finding this out, and they're finding it out the hard way when they try and start a family. I can't get a house. I'm stuck in an apartment. My rent's going up because there's no housing. My landlord wants to raise the rent every month. If we don't let him raise the rent, he makes our lives miserable. We got to find another apartment. I can't get a decent job because I'm constantly moving. I'm not able to put roots down because I don't know where I'm going to be able to afford to live in a year from now. These are societal issues that tear at the fabric of what it means to be Canadian. It causes in-group fighting. It causes fighting between socioeconomic groups and immigrant groups, and it's not good. None of this stuff is good, man. And the point that we got to keep in mind here is that shouldn't accept it. We just shouldn't accept this kind of thing. And unfortunately, it seems like a lot of people, like we mentioned earlier, just don't have a choice. They just don't have a choice. It's a sad state of affairs here. We got to figure out how to fix this.
Yeah. So whatever action they choose, and even if they decide to have no kids and no pets and decided, you know, they want to do traveling and all that, you never know. If you get sick abroad, that's very costly too, depending where you are. So there's no free ride anywhere you go. When you're talking about the kids part, a lot of this is because it's, I want to say, subsidized to a degree. Because when you go to the hospital as, you know, a Canadian resident, it's you don't pay for it. I know we all paid for it, but you don't pay it initially out of pocket. It's done through collectively.
But you also don't get good care.
That's a totally different argument.
You don't get good care in a Canadian.
That's a totally
hospital.
Different argument. I'm just talking about like the cost that's associated with it. It's been collectively, it's been done. But not only that, even school, like, you know, it would be very costly if you had to pay out of pocket for that school, but it's done collectively. So it's not done through with pets. It's done on this. The government has decided that we all have to collectively chip in and pay for healthcare, for better or for worse, and also for people's schooling. And even if you choose to go to private school, you're still pitching in for public schooling or publicly funded school. So that's right. This is the reality. And it's very expensive to raise a kid. I can tell you firsthand experience. But
for sure.
What, Joey, we got on long enough. We could just end this segment here and go to the Bitcoiner and No Coiner segment of the week. I have one, but not the other.
I'm going to give a Bitcoin of the week here, a late choice for me, to Tucker Carlson, who I think, you know, for all his faults, and, you know, he's a man with many faults in my view, but he's really sort of reformed in the last 3 or 4 months. Obviously, let go from Fox today. There's some unsavory rumors floating around about anti-Semitic comments. I won't get into that. You can look at that if you want. But if you look at Tucker's content over the last 3 months, 6 months, he's really looked at a lot of issues that are near and dear to Bitcoiners: U.S. hegemony, proxy wars, endless conflict in the United States and abroad, just all sorts of things that we think are unfair, unjust, and unproductive, honestly. And so I don't know how much I care to talk about, you know, the reason for him leaving Fox, or, you know, Fox News more broadly. Obviously took a dive today in the stock market, but I will say, I think it's worth keeping an eye on what he does next. He delivered a pretty good speech over the weekend about the nature of politics and how truly it seems like less and less of the things that go on in politics are actually political or worth debate. They're being forced from other powers, which I think is, you know, somewhat true. All in all, worth watching what comes from the Carlson camp next. I'm hopeful that he becomes a productive member of an independent media that's growing in the United States, with Twitter being bought by Elon and platforms like Rumble and others. I think there's a lot of potential for him, and I hope he understands that and hope he takes advantage of it. I'm looking forward to see what's next.
Yeah, and I just want to state that he has a great opportunity here, and he would be following in the path of other people like Rogan. I mean, maybe not exactly in his path, but he has shown that you could be successful when you have control over your content. And a lot of other content creators are also like that as well. When you're dealing with a network like Fox or any other network, you're kind of tied into the constraints that they provide you. And it's tough to blossom, if that's the right word. But when you're untethered from that and you're able to speak your mind and to talk about topics that are really close to your heart, it gives you an opportunity to really to flourish. And hopefully he's going to be able to do that. Yeah. Opportunities are there. Even if there's a lot of resistance, there's no stopping him.
And he's not a guy who's like dying for money either, right? Like, that's important as well.
I can't say. I'm not sure what his financial situation is. So if that's the case, then it makes it all the more easy for him to do whatever he wants. You know, like, when you're dealing with podcasting, and I don't know if this is the route he wants to go, you can't be stopped in that. You could say whatever the hell you want, and people are going to listen if they like you or not. So you can't be censored. And then you go down that value for value rabbit hole, and you get stream stats. Not that he would do this, but it goes to show you then, you when you have the right environment and you throw Bitcoin into the mix, you could earn a decent living if you're a big podcaster. You could feed yourself. You could pay for the equipment. You could pay for the services in order to get the whole podcast going. And you could do it in such a way that nobody could stop you. They could try to censor you. Good luck. And it goes along with the line of the whole Bitcoin mentality. Hopefully it works for him. But
yeah.
My Bitcoiner of the week is a Reddit poster by the name of GG Fien, F-I-E-N. So GG F-I-E-N, one word. He wrote a university paper, and it was about Bitcoin. It was actually titled Bitcoin, a Solution to the World's Energy Crisis. And he wrote this while attending, and he still attends, Texas A&M. And this was an awesome piece of literature that he wrote. It's 9 pages, got 94% from this. So I'm looking at this, and he sent it to, I am assuming, a prof that is most likely left-leaning, and he was able to have him convinced to give him a 94%. It was well-written. It was well-researched. And it talked about in the paper that Bitcoin mining, it helps lower the cost of energy production moving forward, because you're going to have to expand more energy. It's going to need more energy. And it also makes it less costly to do so because you're monetizing the energy usage. But not only that, he talks about fossil fuels won't be able to power Bitcoin mining moving forward. So it's also going to encourage the inclusion of renewable energy to help spur that, fund it, make it more feasible moving forward, and it could make renewable energy scale forward. Not only that, the paper bashes Liz Warren. So that too.
Okay,
I gotta give
true. Here we go. There's the lead right there. Okay, now I know why you picked this guy. So I found out.
I love it. But the fact that he wrote this paper and he exposed Bitcoin to a profit at Texas A&M. And I don't know if that prof was exposed to Bitcoin before. He is indirectly orange-pilling people one at a time. And I like this. It was well-written. He got a good mark on this. And for all this, and hopefully that prof becomes orange-pilled from this, GG Fien is my Bitcoiner of the week.
Come on the show, GG Fien. We got to get a hold of this guy. See if he wants to come on. See what was the spark for this quality piece of output from this young man or woman. I'm interested in hearing.
And if anybody wants to read it, reach out to me. I'll be more than happy to point out where it is on Reddit. He posted the link to his paper and he just blacked out his name. So it's not like he's doxing himself. But yeah, I don't have a no coiner of the week. It's been a little while since I have one. I should be getting one soon. And
we talk about so many things that are sometimes like negative news. And I'm happy to talk about the good stuff in Bitcoin and the things I think are, you know, worth getting pumped about. So we want to accelerate, and sometimes no coiners of the week are not inducive to that. So, conducive to that. Anyway, that's it, everyone. Thanks for coming. Price of Bitcoin behind me here, 27,525 US.
A slight pump, and in Canadian dollars, 37,310. No Singapore dollars this week. Stay tuned for next week. We might throw it in. Maybe not. It's an Easter egg.
Stick around for the after show. We'll be talking about, I don't know, video games and maybe the Sacramento Kings first round chances against the Warriors, among other things. And don't forget Wednesday, Sean Anstey, Liquid FinTech. Len will be back at it. And then Access of VZ Thursday, as always, we record that, comes out on Friday on that feed. And that's it. Until then, take care of yourselves.
Yeah, take care and PV.